her.
Previously, in Aethoncus by Alice Dale, since Philippa's husband was upset about Craig's difficulties, she found herself relating them to David Mackey, the second headmaster, when they met in the corner cafe. An air raid started that evening and her daughter Irene phoned from the cinema where she and John were trapped. She persuaded her mother to go into the Anderson shelter.
Philippa took her time making a flask of tea, fetching her book and the portable wireless. On her way down the garden path, she could see the searchlights sweeping the sky, but there was no sound of planes. She knew, of course, they must be on their way. She remembered the trouble Stan had gone to building the shelter almost immediately war was declared, and the way the family had mocked his efforts, convinced it would never be needed. Now he was being proved right. She managed to pass 4 hours on her own, mostly reading the book her friend Iris had lent her, Gone with the Wind. Pretty racy stuff, she thought, but found herself glued to it until her eyes began to blur. That was when she decided she'd had enough. There had been sounds of AK-AK gunfire, but she hadn't heard anything that sounded like a bomb, so she decided to risk running back into the house, desperate for her warm bed and sleep. After all, there was school tomorrow and an early rise. For some reason she never figured out, she ran bent double up the garden path, as if that would save her should a bomb fall. She was sound asleep when the outside door opened and closed. And, typical mother, she was immediately awake and automatically looked at the alarm clock. 4 a.m. Who's that? She called. It's only me, Mum. John has gone to check on his parents. Irene had held on to the key to her original home. Now she opened the bedroom door. You can't have been in bed long. Rubbing her eyes, Philippa replied, Well, as a matter of fact, you didn't go into the shelter. Yes, I did. I stayed there for 4 hours. I heard the big guns firing, but there were no bombs, and I was getting very cold. Actually, there were quite a lot of bombs. We were told they all fell on Clyde Bank. So what time did the raid end? 3 a.m. Dad's not back yet? She asked, noticing only one side of the bed was occupied. No, I hope he's all right. Speak of angels, Irene said brightly as she heard the key in the door. Imitating what she'd often received from her father when she was a teenager, she confronted him with, What time of night is this to come home? And she laughed up at him. But he was grim-faced. His skin was deathly white under all the smudges of black dust. Oh, Irene, I hope you never have to see the things I've seen tonight. When Philippa heard this, she jumped out of bed, putting on her warm dressing gown. Running into the hall, she went straight to her husband. Are you all right? She asked as she removed his helmet and pulled the heavy coat from his shoulders. He nodded, without changing his stunned expression. Come on into the sitting room. Irene, put on the electric fire, please. She put an arm round his shoulders and tried to walk him back to reality, for his expression told her he was elsewhere. As Irene rose from her kneeling position at the fire, the two women shared concerned looks for a moment before Philippa said, Irene, pet, make us a cup of tea. "Yes, of course, Mum," and she scuttled out the room. The moment they were alone, Philippa asked gently, "Was it that bad?" Again, the nod. "Tell me about it, Stan." He neither spoke nor moved. "It's better to talk about it." She said no more, just waited. The long silence that followed wasn't broken until Irene came in, carrying a tray with tea for three. "Thanks, dear. This'll do you good, Stan. I'll put extra sugar in it. I think you're suffering from shock." He accepted the cup, warming his cold hands round it, and took a long sip before speaking. And the story he told horrified them. "The minute I arrived at headquarters, most of us were driven straight to Clydebank. I suppose the raid could have been worse. At least they were aiming for the docks and the ships, and, of course, the armaments factory that used to make Singer sewing machines. But the blast from each bomb shattered some of the nearby houses, and people were trapped inside, or killed outright. We heard there were 260 bombers. Some of them missed their target and hit houses." He stopped, clearly imagining something. His wife filled the gap with, "I didn't hear the bombs, but I heard a lot of gunfire. Most of it came from the Polish destroyer in John Brown's yard for repair. They kept up a constant barrage. A lot of the bombers must have gone down on their way back to Germany, and I'll bet most of them were badly damaged. I bloody well hope so," he suddenly exploded. Irene was tense as she listened. "What on earth could you do against 260 bombers?" "Not nearly enough. But you'd have been amazed at how much was done. Not just by us. Civilians came rushing to help, removing rubble with their bare hands, trying to get to people who were trapped underneath. All I did was save a woman and her baby. They were trapped with the front of their house sheared off and turned to rubble. The poor woman had been breastfeeding her baby when it happened, and she was still sitting on a chair at the very edge of the remains, too stunned to move. I climbed over the rubble and threw away bricks to make a path to her. When she saw me, she quickly removed the child from her breast and covered herself up. I told her I'd hold her wee girl. I knew it was a girl. She was dressed all in pink. And she should get some clothes together for both of them, and I'd take them to the nearest shelter. And you'll never guess what she did next. When she reappeared with the case, she was holding a bottle of sherry. I said, 'I don't think you should start drinking. We've a way to go.' And she said, 'It's not for me. It's for you.' And she insisted on giving it to me. I think she was just so relieved that someone was helping her." "Oh, the soul," Philippa said. "Then, ever practical," she asked, "what on earth did you do with a bottle of sherry when you were carrying her baby?" "It's here," he said, walking through to his coat on the hall stand. Delving into the deep pocket, he produced the bottle and brought it back into the sitting room. "It's Bristol cream, your favourite." She said her husband's in the Merchant Navy and he gets lots of drinks. "That's lovely. But what happened next? Did you get her to a shelter all right?" "I couldn't find one anywhere within walking distance, but our commander told me the local school was being used to house people who were bombed out. It was quite a distance, which in one way was a good thing. The farther from the docks, the better. So I carried the baby in her case while she stumbled over rubble of her own house and others. She was a wee bit of a thing, and no strength in her. But she managed to keep up with me, half walking, half running, till we got there. And that wee Wayne never made a sound. Unfortunately, I couldn't stop her mother from seeing bodies lying in the streets." He stopped for a moment, a thought suddenly occurring that made him feel guilty. "Do you know, I never even thought to ask her name. and after a moment's silence, "Anyway, after I'd handed her over to a WVS woman, I was asked to help with blackout curtains, and I was up and down ladders for the rest of the night, in the dark, till the curtains were up." That thought had brought him back to normality. Relieved, Irene said, "I'd better be on my way." She kissed and hugged them both before leaving. Philippa was glad her exhausted husband had been able to talk about it, and it was good he'd shown such concern for a stranger, with no thought for himself. Perhaps this war would give her back the Stan she had married, before he had become so self-centred and critical of everything. She ushered him to bed and joined him there, wrapping him in the warmth of her arms. Thank you.